Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Magnetic Warrior, and it is the first day of the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, and it is the Cosmic Moon Day 2. And I am adding an extra podcast this week because it's just so stark to walk into the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, and I don't feel like I necessarily prepared everyone, whoever listens. Like, you might not have been properly prepared by me, because now that the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell has begun and the war has begun, I just feel like, well, let's talk about that a bit. It's really shocking, and there is an interesting future perspective that I'm also reminded of, which is that we go from Yellow Warrior to Red Moon. So there's this major swing into masculine overtures, the energy field of a, you know, I would say archetypal male, the warrior, followed by true deep feminine archetypal sentiment and experience. So I've been running a ton of masculine energy since I moved, and that's kind of in accordance with some of my upbringing, and being overtone and being a storm is identified, I would say, frequently as sort of like being male, or it's just the way the culture swings, right? That when people are in a forceful place or maybe seem powerful, and I don't even mean that as a compliment, just like it's so full of force, full of intent, that's described as a masculine way of being. So when I brush into the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, I'm like, okay, this is kind of a relief, because there's not a cataclysmic force that I'm accustomed to living from. It's a really focused, dedicated, calm strength and clarity. And I love it. I love this version of a masculine archetype of being in the ancient warrior, because it reminds me just of the dedication and the full pursuit that comes with training to be martial, to be a ready for battle. And so that what you win is sort of mind over matter, training your body to be super refined and ready and calm and cool in the face of great heat. And all of that feels really calming for me, who lives in the maelstrom of my own making. So that part of the masculine or the archetypal warrior is wonderful to me, and I feel almost, you know, missing in a lot of the ways that men have to behave in a modern world. And at the same time, it's really great to be female in the Yellow Warrior time, because I think that the men that I've run into, even in the first day of this wave spell, are acting really great. They're acting the way they're being protective. They're being in service from a place of strength. I'm really tired and worn out, and I've had a few experiences at Home Depot in the first day where I'm like, wow, I am getting bailed out by men coming to a place that sometimes we would wish they were more naturally inclined. Like, let me help you out here. I can do that. I have, you know, bigger muscles, but not in a macho way, more in a implied place of being helpful. So that's like the great thing about stepping into Yellow Warrior. And I'm going to watch for that. It's the magnetic day that I'm speaking from. And I want to remind you that I strongly believe that the magnetic day holds within it both of the polarities that show up in the lunar day. So the first day, the first tone is magnetic, and it holds the whole wave spell within it like a seed. And then on the lunar day or the lunar tone, if we're in a longer wave spell, we delineate, within the totality of the first tone, the magnetic moment, there was the shadow and the light, and I can kind of parse that and see, okay, these things are sort of at odds, or they're disconnected. It feels like separation and distance that's uncomfortable. I can't reconcile these two opposites that were presented to me in the beginning of this wave spell, but we do the work over the wave spell to find how they can be reconciled. So on the magnetic day of a wave spell, it's really quite frequent, for me at least, that I see what's challenging and I see the polarity. And then on the second day, I either see it really much more clearly, you know, more starkly, and I can really delineate, or I see like, okay, so this is the problem, but the problem isn't the whole, like the whole wave spell is not problematic. The problem is this part of, for example, the Yellow Warrior tribe. So if we were kind of calling it good and evil, which is my mood, the good part of the Yellow Warrior tribe and being in the wave spell is feeling this kind of preparedness and strength to face things that are tough without getting super emotional, which is much more of the red moon response and the feminine emotional, the watery fluid response. Yellow Warrior has more rigor, more vigor, and I guess like I feel just can't be knocked over very easily. And there's a shield that protects us from feeling a lot of emotion in this time. That would be kind of the light of Yellow Warrior. And then the shadow is just fucking wanting to fight. And, you know, I don't like telling the stories that sound like mundane, you know, complainy, kind of not super like spiritual with a lot of crazy magic. You know, I just have a neighbor that I haven't heard from in 5 months, moons. A lot of conflict there since I got here, where we built a 6-foot fence between the properties because it just wasn't going well and that had to be a priority. But I am an empath and I live with her vibe of criticism, and you know, she just hates what's going on because it's, you know, ugly, loud, and dirty, and that's the way construction sort of is. So she had to start the war on Yellow Warrior, restart the war, another battle in the long war between neighbors in the blue lunar storm year. And, you know, I was able to not go to war back. And I don't think that's like a big feather in my cap. I think that's more the discipline of following the calendars and just being like, oh, right. So you want to start a fight on Yellow Magnetic Warrior. And, you know, for you, for me, it is the right fight. It is the one we really care about. There isn't supposed to be a lot of just idle, you know, rage tantruming. Like, I don't like that. I don't like that. It's more like, okay, what do I really object to? What is deeply in my heart as something that I want to defend myself against? Who is offensive and I have to face them off? So I guess I'm that for her. And I, you know, I'm still looking at like, what are my big, who are my big enemies or perceived enemies, and where am I trying to both erect boundaries and shield myself, but also push back, because that is the way of the warrior and the war, is that it's not a capitulation. It's where we stand, where we feel we belong. We find the place that we feel we belong, and we defend it against being run off or infiltration or an occupying army.
so I don't really know that. I just had to get on the airwaves here because I'm like, oh, right. So other people are warlike right now. And I don't know if that's my battle. You know, the fence was, I felt like, was the seminal battle. So, I mean, getting it up, not deciding to have it, it was just a big deal and it needed to happen. So maybe I am, this isn't the war. That's not where I really want to have my, I don't want to dig in dealing with her war. So I'm waiting and I'm wondering if you're finding your version of where you kind of, you know, I have so many inner battles that I think I'm going to have to run off some demons that have taken up space in me that might be worth fighting for. The other really obvious switch in the last few days, of course, is moving into the cosmic moon. I'm going to post on my Instagram announcement that there's this extra podcast episode, a photo that I took walking along the beach, the ocean beach. I don't get to the ocean as much now. I live along a bay, saltwater bay, but I went back to the ocean after spending 13 years in Santa Barbara along the ocean side with the waves coming in from the Pacific. And there was some beach foam, and I was walking along, and there was a giant bubble. I mean, it wasn't giant. It was probably like an inch across. And in this rainbow bubble from the beach foam, which is probably some petroleum, petrochemical, you know, pollution, I saw myself. I saw my little body reflected in this soap bubble on a beach, a big ocean beach. And it just made me laugh so hard because that's like cosmic. That is encapsulation of the cosmic experience, that it's sort of silly and trippy, and maybe there's going to be a rainbow involved, and that it just really gets you, as someone in my life would say, gets you jazzed. Like, wow, that's awesome. And there's such the desire in the age of social media, and particularly image-based social media, there's such the desire for me to, you know, have that expression like shared with the world immediately. But maybe I had to make this whole podcast so I would have the reason to put that picture up. But mostly I'm trying to explore what it's like to just have a cosmic experience and not have to share and show everyone. And I think that's not meant to be a condemnation of social media as much as how to shift from the crystal tone that we just did for 28 days, which is all about being in a collective relationship and sharing information and feeling like you're part of a group and you want to participate with others, to the cosmic time, which I think has a real opportunity to be an awakened place that's a little more isolated so that you don't miss your connection to the cosmos. Cosmos includes all the people that were in our crystal experience, but it's the beyondness, you know, not just, you know, human cooperative efforts with other people or even animals in our lives, but like taking the step, the 13th tone, into our attention being, maybe you could say, in an imaginal way with the ascended Maya. I think I might have talked about this, but otherwise I'm like re-confessing something. I wish it were the first time. I mean, I hope it's not a surprise to anyone that I have a therapist, nor a point of shame, but I don't usually talk about that here. But I did have this session, it was a couple weeks ago, where my therapist started asking me about my Mayan spirituality. And now he's like so not into it, but he so like wants to validate that I'm into it that he always says, well, so how does what you're feeling seem to reflect in your view what's going on with the calendar you follow? So I think about it a lot. And I mean, I already thought that way, but now I have this complete amplification happening in the form of this helper healer in my life. And so I did really come to terms with being one with the cosmos right now is my function and hope, effort. The question that goes with the cosmic tone is, how can I expand my joy and love? And I don't think that's a shoe-in. Like, I don't think it just means, how am I expanding my joy and love? How are joy and love, you know, flooding me with wellness? I don't think that's what the question means. I think the question is deep and beautiful and deserves 28 days of our full attention and immersion. And the question is just really guileless and curious and childlike, just like, what? How can I expand my joy and love? Because in these first 2 days, I just once again am really aware of how I've contracted my joy and love, where I've been living out of the center of that. We had a white dog wave spell recently that, you know, really reminded me that it feels wonderful to pivot to our hearts and mammalian warm hearts and try to live from that place for self-love and extending our love, our heart love to others. But the joy and love piece that comes in the cosmic tone, I think, is more about universal love, or agape, is that the word, where it's not really relational with another living being, sentient being, but it is just really teaching us, calling us towards the ultimate expansion of not just a feeling state of love, but, you know, an awakened soul that is in touch with the otherness of the, you know, the outer realms of existence, i.e. the non-sentient one, and just exploring that relationship. It doesn't have to be limited to, like, a relationship with a god, but a relationship to, you know, all the inexplicable forces that we nonetheless are obviously connected to and supported by. And that's why I think the Ascended Maya are a really good focal point if you need one. If you want to be like, oh, I'm one with the cosmos, and you're thinking about a bunch of stars and star clusters, and I think about that as well, because the cosmos to me is just the unimaginable, indescribable expanse of the wide open outer space beyond our atmosphere. That trips me out enough, but I have been following the path of natural time for a while because of my sense that there is a selective force or amalgam of Mayan souls in some place, specifically in the cosmos. I don't know, I just feel like when you die, you might go somewhere out there specific, not just be dispersed in a disembodied way throughout the entire cosmos, but you might have a particular neighborhood of the cosmos that your soul goes to in affinity with other souls. And that's where I feel when I tune into the frequencies of the Maya here, that my spirit is bridged to that particular neighborhood in the stars. And I really like in this final moon of the year to give myself over and almost entirely to the other world. And so, not that I can hold myself to this, but in the Yellow Warrior invitation to get into the weeds with conflict with people, I mean, I have that so dysfunctionally anyhow. I'm reminding myself, like, no, I don't really want to spend this moon with people. Maybe people's on a soul level or some really soulful experiences with people, but I don't want to be in the rat-a-tat-tat of machine gun warfare with anyone during this final stage of a year's arc. And that maybe, you know, my invitation to those of you who are either longtime listeners tuning in again or have always been here, you know, it's almost like, please dedicate yourself to the cosmic moon in an identifiable way and make space in your life to be reverent to whatever you believe is out there or that you want to explore and find out more of the communication lines between yourself and what's out there that matters to you, that informs you, and just really deepen that communication line and affinity. I think that the Yellow Warrior wave spell will keep tugging at our humanity and reminding us that the experience of humans on Earth is kind of like World War III in certain ways, and that we're globally affected. I don't mean just by COVID, but by climate crisis. And it's not really the same known or projected enemy, but there is just a sense of enduring a lot of both conflict and attack, defending ourselves and trying to stay alive against some kind of infiltrating power that might feel overwhelming, daunting, have supremacy, feeling battered by that and desperate. Like, I think that is a pretty strong undertone of going through the pandemic. And also, I mean, I just live in a place that's really hot. So when global warming looks like a lot of rain or snow and people are like, well, it's not warmer. I'm like in the real prototype global warming phase where it's just a lot hotter than it used to be. So it's pretty traceable. And with that kind of challenge in our lives right now, then allowing ourselves to feel the force and connection to something that is way beyond the earth realm is important. The last thing I'll say about it is super morbid, but I think it's also nice. I believe that the Maya perceived that life on Earth is so transitory that we really need to aim for the heavens in the afterlife. Like, we need to do the work here to survive, but always, always keep in mind that there's something much larger and better awaiting us when we pass through the veil from living to dying. And that when we're in death, we arrive in heaven with a lot of esteemed, lovely, supreme beings. And that I think it might be nice to actually own that. It's a big part of my belief system and practice to just be like, I find it kind of hard to do this thing. This particular lifetime is, it's not clicking in all the time. But what I'm sure of is that it's transitory, and that I will, you know, be relinquished into the cosmic realm and float around and have some sense of freedom, and some karma will draw me back or draw me elsewhere. But like, this is certainly not it. And that's really a big part of the invitation of the cosmic time is to, if you have fears that this is it, or you have fears of dying, then pay attention to what it feels like in the cosmic experience. Because I really think if you think of it being the kind of final stage of a journey that's described repetitively experienced in the wave spell phenomena here, that you have to look at the lifetime that we live as the same, and that ultimately we come to the place that is cosmic in our own lifespan, where we become one with the cosmos again. We disappear from our physical bodies and are elevated. So this is like a little taste of that. And when we hit the magnetic moon in the new year, yellow electric seed year, in, you know, 28 days or so, when we get to that, we are pushed deep into our bodies, deep into our incarnation, loaded up with a bunch of earth karma. And it's super physical, super real, super dense. And so enjoy this time that isn't any of that, that's moving into vapor, into ether. Being one with the cosmos means being as spacious as the sky we gaze upon. So that's cool. That's pretty cool. It makes me feel better about construction projects and being a real asshole to somebody in their lives so that they want to smote me. That sounds good. I wanted to return to one of my episodes. I had to go to Home Depot 3 times and 2 different Home Depots that were, an hour or two apart on this particular Yellow Warrior Day. So I was in the land of a lot of warriors because I think people in construction, mostly men, it seems, kind of live that truth. But, you know, I have to buy a lot of heavy wood, and I injured myself last week, so I'm pretty pathetic moving it around the store and into my vehicle. And so, you know, there's like just so many men around, and I look like someone who wouldn't be doing a lot of construction, so there is the surprise when I'm in the line with all my materials as well. And that's cool, that's groovy, that's sort of my Amazonian state of being. But today I just got so much help from men. I just did. And one even called me a damsel in distress. And I thought that was super on point. You know, that might sound degrading to someone, but I am that. He saw me clearly. I am fully that. And it's really, really relieving and wonderful and heartening to be seen as such. There's such a reversal in our foment of renewed feminism, and I don't think that that's a wrong course to be on culturally, reminding the world about the power of women. But I do think that the other relationship exists where feminine or masculine, female or not, female by birth or not, there are times when you just are weary and you want to be lifted up by someone stronger. And I just remind everyone that if we were to fast forward to Red Moon, I could pull this out of the air and say, and yeah, think about when warrior men need to be lifted up, held, reassured, and that's in all these archetypal historic mythologies about men who go to war, and then when they come home and there is a woman waiting, and the woman takes them into her heart, into her hearth, and away from the nightmarish experiences out on the battlefield, into home, into the place that is safe and sound and sexual and enveloping and surrounding. So I'm not saying that I'm celebrating that men rescue women without seeing the inverse. I'm just saying that I think the Yellow Warrior time gives us a little taste of when men are there. Men, the archetype of a man, masculine, is that a strong presence, a muscular presence to help defend, keep safe those who feel vulnerable, particularly physically, I guess, and or in their physical space, physical bodies, but also territorial safety. And that a way that a man could really feel relief, the inversion again of damsel in distress, you know, warrior home from battle. They just need softness, reassurance, kindness, no hard edges, no shields, the opposite of that. So there's this beautiful interplay at this point in the calendar between diving deeply into the masculine realm and then reversing into the feminine. And we're there in the nexus of the two. So I'll probably come floating back Wednesday, Thursday. I may have run out of things to say. I might be in a full-scale battle. I might, you know, be hurt in battle and whimpering around here, wanting to go home to the feminine archetype of shelter off the battlefield. I am hoping for the best for each of us, and that if we just turn our attention again to something larger than human dilemmas, human spats, human reactivity, ourselves and others, and find that cosmic power. It can be a really transcendent time. And yeah, thanks for allowing me to grab the mic and reorient my distress into some kind of equanimity here. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.